Hey, and welcome to The Rod Kirby Show, the podcast that covers the ever-expanding world of film and entertainment. Today, I'm chatting with director, producer, and actor, Glenn Payne. Along with the ride is his producing partner, writer, and actress, Casey Dillard. Glenn and Casey's recent film, Driven, stars Richard Speight Jr. Fans of the hit show Supernatural know him as Gabriel. We talk about what it's like working with celebrity actors, share indie filmmaking tips, discuss film distribution and marketing, and so much more. This is an action-packed double feature that you don't want to miss. Stick around and hang out with us right here on The Rod Kirby Show. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining The Rod Kirby Show. Today I have a double hitter. I've got two awesome people with me today. Mr. Glenn Payne and Miss Casey Dillard is with me on the show today. Glenn, how are you, sir? Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
If you all don't know, Glenn is like a quadruple threat and a triple threat combined. I think that's like six or something like that. He does a lot. He's a writer, director, and producer, and sometimes an actor as well. Mm-hmm. I saw you in your latest feature film, Driven, which was really good. I was very impressed by it. You know, Glenn, you and Casey served as a writer on that film, and she's also your dynamic duo partner, who you guys have, you've been working on different projects. She writes a lot of your projects as well. How did you two meet?
We met through our improv group called mm-hmm. West of Shake Rag, which the group's been together, around 11 years or so. And so I met her through that, and then we just sort of slowly started collaborating here and there on stuff, and kind of enjoyed working together and found similar things interesting, I guess. It's been great. Yeah, very, very excited to have met her. Worked out pretty well.
you're in Blue Springs, Mississippi, and I'm in South Haven, Mississippi, so we're technically neighbors. You're about an hour away from me, but you do a lot of your films are based around the Tupelo, Mississippi and Blue Springs area. Is that right?
Yeah, for the most part, usually. Yeah, we usually okay. film in that general area. We filmed one thing in Memphis before, but
What was that?
It was called Tinker. It was for the Memphis Film Prize, so it's a competition that they have up there. And that was a few years back, but we teamed up on that one as well with some of our other regular group team members, which was different because we were out of our territory, you know, like we didn't have all our normal connections to make things a little more complicated. But yeah, usually in the Tupelo area for the most part.
Right. Now, you're also with Casey, you do a YouTube show called Stranger, Are You Smiling? Mm-hmm. And you know what? I know I was going to say this for later, but let me go ahead and bring Casey up. I keep talking about it. Let me just go ahead and bring her up. Okay. Casey, I hope you're ready. Go ahead, put your coffee down, put your hair in a bun, and come on up here, lady. How's it going? Hold on, you're muted. There we go. All right, how'd you doing?
Oh, wait, can you bring me up again, and then I'll, like, pop out at the same time? we can make it more of a reveal.
How in the world did you get connected with this guy?
Through improv.
Through improv. So,
yes. Trying to remember, when was that? Did it start in the spring of like 2009, I think?
I think it was 2009. That's about as much as I can tell you. I don't know what season it was.
And then our improv team was fortunate enough to be accepted as an apprentice team mm-hmm. in the Chicago Improv Festival when it was still up and running.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it really was. And I think that's really when we bonded mm-hmm. and like found out that we had very, copacetic storytelling styles. Mm.
Yeah. No. That was also when I think for both of us, but I know me, especially with improv, that's when I began to really see it as an art form. Mm-hmm. As much as not that it wasn't something very important beforehand, but you really started to see the performances of some of the groups up there that really changed my perspective and my life. Yeah.
Now, Glenn, is that about the time that you got bit by the filmmaking bug too, or did that happen sooner or later?
That was before then. That was already going, but I was early on. That happened for me in college. Mm-hmm. I went to Mississippi State for fine art. And in my last semester, I took an intro to film history class. Hmm. And so I got to make a short film for my final exam. So I made this really, really bad little thing, dialogue. And because I'm a painter, drawer. So that was my background. But yeah, I got the bug from there. Didn't know any actors, didn't know anybody. So that's where it started.
What about you, Casey? Have you always been a writer, or did this just kind of grow out of your connection with Glenn?
I got into writing more, well, specifically writing scripts more, because like if you are a lady who wants to perform, you should at some point in time at least try to write, because that's the only way that like it's probably the only way that we are going to see female roles with the like quality and frequency that we see male roles in movies. So
right.
It's I recommend it to any woman that wants to get into performing in any capacity. It can be like write your own monologues, it can be write a stand-up set, but I highly recommend everyone write something. So it was more of a roundabout way to push myself as an actor initially, but then I definitely came to enjoy it as its own activity. But I've always kind of written stories and things as hobbies.
Well, that's awesome. Now, Glenn, as a painter and artist, I assume that also informs your filmmaking, because I see a lot of my friends that are filmmakers and directors. You know, they also have hidden talents. I find out people have been painting, or they draw, and a lot of people do their own storyboards and all that stuff. So, how does that kind of coincide with your filmmaking work?
Well, it really informs things visually. And it's funny, because when I first started, even after I'd done a few short films and kind of started to get a little bit of progress going as far as knowing what I was doing to some degree, I had to catch up on story, which is really interesting, you know, getting to know Casey, because she was such a talented writer. She was far ahead of me as a writer by a lot. So, but like I was so visual because of paintings, drawing, sculpture, etc. I had to catch up on the character-based elements of all that. And then it's so funny. So I'm like, I don't know, 16 years in or something to making movies now. And I even find myself now being like, I should think back a little bit towards the visual side of things again, and not lose that. Because now I'm all character, you know, it's all about like story. So part of me is like, we need to remember some of that visual stuff. I mean, like, not that you don't remember visuals along the way, obviously, but
you need to watch some visual films.
Yeah. Remember my roots.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, watch The Fall.
Yeah.
Sounds a good movie.
Yeah, it was so beautiful.
Yeah. What's your favorite movie, Casey?
Circle back to me. Ask Glenn.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me go first. My favorite movie of all time, if I could just have one, I would probably pick Color Purple. And let me tell you why. First of all, the story and the cinematography and the directing from Spielberg, it just came together like butt cheeks. Okay. It just came together like a really good peanut butter jelly sandwich. I just love how soft it looks. And I love how the characters are really developed, and they really come through the screen. I mean, the acting was on point, the cinematography, the music, everything was just full circle for me. And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Glenn, what about you?
It's really good, but man, that's a tough watch. like it's one of those that I definitely would have to pace out any kind of rewatches.
Oh yeah.
You know how some movies after they're done, you just need to like sit down. Like you just came in from a hard day of work. Yeah, that one. Okay.
I can go, Casey, if you want.
Go, Glenn.
Which this is one. I mean, this is a difficult question, but like the easiest answer is The Prestige, I guess. Which Casey introduced me to. But so many layers to the story, and just so many elements of the movie. There's just so much there to dig through and sort of unfold. Now, you know, I don't know if I want to watch it over and over and over and over and over again. Probably want something comedic, which is what I'm leaning toward more and more now in my life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I don't think I can do a favorite one, but I can do a like desert island one. Hmm. And for me, I think that's probably Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Drop Dead Gorgeous. Okay.
Yeah. It's just funny. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy it that much. So
see, I might pick an Edgar Wright movie as my repeat one.
Yeah. My other thing was going to be maybe Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, I guess Hot
Fuzz.
Or Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun Dead, I was about to say, yeah. Shaun of the Dead is one of my favorites, too. Love that.
I'm a Kirsten Dunst loyalist, though. I love her, and so I will take her to the desert island with me. And Amy Adams in that movie in her very first role.
Cool.
Now, Allison Janney before she was Allison Janney. Good stuff.
Now, the last film that you two work on together... before this new film, we'll get into that in just a second. But the last one was Driven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was that 2018 or 2019 that it released?
It officially, what? Sorry, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. It went on its film festival circuit in starting in early 2019, and then it was officially released on streaming in 2020.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So it had a long gestation period, right. I guess.
Which is funny because it was the long journey by itself. Mm-hmm. And even though it's out doing its own thing, it still feels like the new movie to me. Mm-hmm. It was.
Well, time moves differently now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
After the Demi, things just, I don't know, time just feels different.
Yeah.
So this film was, I kind of thought of it as like a rideshare driver's crazy night of demon hunting and saving the world, starring you, Casey Dillard, as well as Mr. Richard Spite. And fans may know him from Supernatural, played Gabriel in that. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick look at the trailer and then we'll come back and talk about it, shall we? So here is Driven.
You doing all right tonight?
Fine, thanks.
And where are we heading?
I have a very specific plan, and I intend to stick to it.
Done. On to the next address.
How many more stops did you say?
Start driving.
Sure, the thing is...
Now!
What was that?
It was a demon, for the lack of a better term. And now I lost my talisman, and I'm just really playing everything by ear here.
No. I should have thrown you out of my car as soon as you got rude about the radio.
But you didn't. Because there's something inside of you that is called to help me.
Get out of the car.
You sensed the need to serve a greater good, and you answered it.
Get out of my car.
You're an essential part of this.
And you're still giving me a big tip.
If we live through this, you won't care about any of those things anymore.
Yes, I will.
Fine.
Oh. Yeah, I know how things get at night here.
Don't trust anyone.
Imagine that.
I have spent years of my life trying to rid the world of these things.
I can't believe I've hit two people with a tire iron.
Whoa!
Right here, buddy.
Go! Drive!
What is a turd spoon?
It's exactly what it sounds like.
I have no idea what it sounds like.
It's very distracting to have that in the back of my brain.
And that was Driven. All right.
Oh, the memories.
Casey, where in the world did this screenplay come from? How did this idea come out of your head? Or did it come out of Glenn's head and you guys put it together into a cool sandwich?
Exactly that, yes.
Okay.
It was Glenn's concept, my story, and they marinated in a Petri dish, and then Glenn's direction, obviously, and then the movie happened. So,
Glenn, when you...
our first kid.
And was this the first feature that you two worked on together?
It's the first one that we worked on in this capacity, I think.
Yeah.
I acted in Earthrise, but I did not play as much of a role in the pre-production.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, how was it casting Richard in this? What was that process like?
Well, we met Richard Speight Jr. at the Oxford Film Festival in Mississippi. He was there a couple years in a row. And I guess I don't know if you met him the first year or if it was just me, Casey.
I think it was just you that first year. I think you were trying to explain to me who his character was on Supernatural. And I was like, I can't follow all this and watch the pizza table. So,
well, so met him there, and then he was there the next year. We all kind of hung out at the festival and jived pretty well. And then he and I sort of vaguely stayed in touch over a few years after that. And then we were working on the story. She was writing and doing, you know, all the hard work. And
that time.
yeah, at that time. And it came up at some point that he was like really spot on for the character, which is a very specific character, Roger, really interesting guy. Mm-hmm. And it requires a very specific skill set, which Rich most definitely has. And so we talked about it, and he wanted to do it, and we were thrilled, and it all came together in the coldest winter in history, in Mississippi, when he showed up and everything froze.
Yeah. Right.
Including us. And the rest is.
And now I don't get cold anymore.
Yeah, now we don't get cold anymore. That's a whole story there. Sorry.
Casey, what was it like acting beside him? Did you feel intimidated a little bit, or were you comfortable in the role? How was it?
No, I'm way better than him. just kidding. For the Richard Speight fans in the audience, that was a joke. Not especially. And a few reasons for that. Like, one, I had written it, so I was very familiar with it, whereas he was coming in having to memorize everything in a lot less time than I had, which would have leveled the playing field with a lot of people, I imagine. And then also, my car has a weird effect on me where I am able to forget that people are famous when I'm driving them around.
Right.
I was a PA for a few horror movie actors a few years ago for our friend's horror convention that he had in Tupelo. So like by the time Richard Speight had been in my car, there had been at least three like horror legends in there. So
that's nice. Yeah.
And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. This is just where famous people go sometimes.
Like your shield. Your
yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, and Rich is also so, and this
is so personable.
He's so nice, man. I think that acting is different than directing him, but I would think that he probably makes you feel very at ease.
Yeah.
As a partner.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's a good scene partner. He's trying to make sure that my hair is doing some crazy stuff. I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Don't worry.
I do the
same thing with mine. It's okay.
Okay. Hey. Solidarity. But like he definitely wants everybody to be comfortable and on the same page, and both of you know the tone of the scene, you know. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched a movie where it seems like one person's playing something super serious and one person's playing it for laughs, right? And neither of them are doing a bad job, but it just doesn't work. You don't run into that with Richard, because he's going to make sure that everybody's on the same page, which might come from his own experience working as a director. Because you have to do, I mean, I'm sure Glenn, you can attest, you have to do a lot more of making sure everybody is doing the same stuff, has the same idea in mind.
Most definitely, yeah. And he directs Supernatural, well, when it was on, that he was a cast member on, and then also, was it Lucifer? Mm-hmm. And so in other words, I mentioned that because he's used to dealing with people that are the stars of the show and balancing all that as well, you know, so.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn, how did you balance that? I mean, you had a guy that's on your set that's got a lot of experience in the industry, and Casey, I mean, you know, you have a lot of industry experience as well, just on a different different scale, different side of things.
Very different scale.
How did you balance all that, Glenn?
I mean, when you're going in before you get to know the person super well, you're like, I hope this goes well, you know. But it was very, very smooth because he was just so giving and accommodating and from his side of things that he made it very, and like it became apparent very quickly. And we were working in really, really tough conditions because he had a window that he was available because he does a lot of stuff. So, and it just happened to be this insane winter storm that we had that year in our area. So
we had one this year too.
We did. But until this new one, that was kind of a rare thing.
Yeah.
And so we were, the movie, as you saw, is like all outdoors for the most part and at night for the most part. So you're doing night shoots in very, very, very cold temperatures. So anyway, the point is he was there to do whatever needed to be done. So it was very smooth and easy. And I like people that have a lot of experience. I even enjoy actors who are directors because I have no problem taking ideas from other people that when they offer them, you know.
Right.
So whatever's best for the story and best for the movie works for me. So I love when people kick ideas over. If it fits, it does. If it doesn't, I'll say it too.
I really like that about you as a director, that you want people to have their own ideas.
Thanks, man.
And not just take notes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a collaboration for a reason.
Yeah.
I've literally made a movie that was just me completely and fully, and it was not good. Not very good. So, and you can't watch it. Nobody can watch it.
Even I haven't been allowed to watch this one, and I've watched some real shitty bad movies you've made.
hey, watch your mouth.
Yeah, no, nah.
People don't understand that, you know, with filmmaking, it's almost like running a restaurant. You know, you can't do it by yourself. You have to have people, not just, you can't just have people hired and doing stuff, but you have to have collaborators that are willing to share ideas and work with you just as hard as you're going to work on the project.
Absolutely. And to me, like with my background in fine art, I don't like it, but I'm used to sitting alone in a studio or whatever that means and painting or drawing by myself. So if I want to create like that, I can do that, you know? But if I want to do this other thing, I like to embrace the collaboration.
And Casey, for you, when you were working with Richard, and throughout the production, what was the toughest thing for you to do, as an actor doing your job? Because you're part writer, part actor, part friend to the director. But what was the hardest thing to do?
And produce on set? She was producing as well.
Producer as well. There you go.
Staying conscious. honestly, probably like not looking at Richard when we were doing like the long conversation scenes, because I was supposed to be driving and my impulse as a human is to like zoom in and listen and focus in, but you got to keep pretending to drive, so you have to find some other way to show that you are engaged. So
right.
Yeah,
that was probably the toughest part for me.
Hmm.
Or the illness. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say you were very, very,
yeah, aside from physical, I assumed that was a given, because otherwise it's the cold. It was definitely the cold.
So let's talk about your latest project. It's called Killer Concept, and I got a little poster I found. It's going to cover our faces, but here it is there.
I think it only covers my face. Lucky
I cleaned over this way.
oh, there we go.
But you're in the poster, though. Oh, there, wait,
you're in the poster.
There you are. Sorry. We're children.
So killer Concept. Talk to me about this latest project. What is it, and when's it coming out?
It was an experiment.
It was. We made it. What stage was it at, Casey, during the pandemic? I don't know.
I mean, it was after the big, like, full, well, not really full. We never really did a full shutdown in the States, but like the closest that we had to it, you know, those 2 weeks in March. I think we started working on it. We just started talking about the possibility of doing one shortly after that. And I think we started filming in April or May. maybe.
Oh, wow.
Well, because we had time on our hands.
Yeah, practice. Well, and specifically our friend Coley, who is the third guy that you see on the poster, I think his place of work shut down for longer than like the absolute mandatory. So, because it's weird for him to have free time.
Yeah.
He stays very, very busy. So we were like, so I think we were thinking Coley's easy to work with. Mm-hmm. We work with each other in spite of neither of us being easy to work with. And, well, and we have time. And obviously we didn't have time to like write a script and produce from that and everything like that. So mm-hmm. we were like, all right, so let's do an outline of a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then break it down scene by scene and try to improvise those.
Okay.
Which, no big deal for me and Glenn. I think Coley was very nervous going into it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, honestly, considering it was, like, probably his first time doing improv, I thought he killed it.
He really did. He really did.
We'll see what the general public thinks. No, we don't. Never read your reviews, filmmakers. That's the best advice I can give you. But,
yeah, so like you said, there's no script.
There's no script. There's just outlines. And here's what happens in this scene. And mm-hmm. and we kind of, I think we gave everybody sort of a broad overview of their character. And then we kind of developed them to the point that we felt like we knew how they would behave in a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And improvise it from there. And we had mostly a two-person crew, sometimes three, if one of us wasn't in the scene and could grab something.
Right.
And so that was like, that was the majority of our little quarantine bubble.
I think this is a thriller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would probably describe it as more of a dark comedy.
Okay.
But it definitely has like thriller elements.
Hmm.
So like she said, very experimental for a lot of reasons,
mm-hmm.
including the five-person team for the most part. And yeah, it was interesting. And for me, it was a thrill because it's just, you know, you're like, let's create something, you know, that whole mentality. Yeah. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, it's a movie and you have to market it and you have to, you know, think about all those things, which we do. But
mm-hmm.
It was a thrill to get to do something very indie. It's like, yeah, it's a no budget movie.
It's like some going back to our 2009 roots stuff.
Yeah.
Except now we're older and more tired.
Got more bills, you know, mm-hmm. the usual.
But I will say that it turned out, I was very happy with how it turned out. So I'm excited for everybody to see it.
That's awesome.
See the reaction.
And congratulations on finishing the deliverables for that,
Thank you.
The distributor.
Yes. Congratulations to Glenn specifically, because he had to put a lot of stuff together for that.
By himself.
Everyone
in his
for
kitchen.
Glenn. Yeah.
Very close to my kitchen. Right here.
Yeah.
For indie filmmakers that are watching and you know they've got a project that they are maybe they're working on now, maybe they're shooting or maybe they're rapping on it. You know, you work with distributors before. What's that process like on having a list of things to complete for the distributor in order to get your film out onto Tubi or onto Vudu or whoever the platform may be? What's that process like?
It can be
so a lot of it depends on the distributor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like get that out of the way. A lot of them have a much more extensive list. And mm-hmm. then I'm going to kick it over to Glenn because he knows more about it.
Yes. Like it does vary from one company to another.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the fundamentals are if they're curious what you might need, you know, to provide, they always want a certain file type, which is a very large file, like an Apple ProRes 422 HQ is usually the standard. And then, so you need the movie, the trailer, you'll need Casey, help me out on some of these. What else we need? Extras if you're going to do DVDs, like outtakes or commentaries,
music mm-hmm. cues, dialogue cues.
Yeah.
Mm.
Break down the chapters. And mm-hmm. Casey, you didn't even see. I made a little names for every chapter, 7 minutes yeah. or so. I just come up with a name for each one. And posters, mm-hmm. Screenshots, and that's about the most simple form of it. And then after that, it gets more complicated with other distributors where they want more from you. But
yeah, I hear that that Netflix and you know, HBO Max and all them, they have sometimes it can cost almost as much as the movie, the production budget.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah. But for me, I just always do it myself or get, like we did Driven. Casey helped me on that one a lot because we had a bigger list of things, but
yeah, the deliverables.
Used to having no money, so used to doing things from the ground up, so I feel their pain. So
right,
but it's doable. It's very doable.
So as producers, how did you go about fundraising on, I know a lot of our projects as indie filmmakers are, you know, literally no budget, but it looked like you worked with a little something to get Richard on Driven. Not asking what the budget is, but just how did you go about raising funds for that?
Well, like many things in life, the less you need something, the more people are willing to give you. So like once we secured Richard, we got a lot, like we had a lot more outreach on our fundraising. We had some like very, very dedicated fans and acquaintances of his like retweeting stuff. Like I would say that for a feature film, a Richard level and Richard quality celebrity kind of pays for itself. Now, I'm not saying just get anybody with a big fan base because they might be awful on screen or to work with. So like, you know, definitely try and do your homework on that. But like, it's one of those things where if you can secure enough funding, more will come. So we secured enough funding going in to be like, yes, we can pay Richard Speight Jr. And then I think that, well, I guess we launched our Indiegogo a little before we knew we had him, but then when we were like, oh, by the way, we got Richard Speight, it suddenly spiked in interest.
Sure. And that project was, I mean, it didn't exactly break down this way, but we used some of our own money, and we had fundraisers and we had some investors.
Right.
And it's not exactly like thirds probably when you break it down, but it's it had all the things going on.
Well, and then it was like a big recycling bin, because when it was over, in order to, you know, make sure to close the costs on anything that we were going to need for deliverables or editing or paying like quality checks, things like that, like we were auctioning off wardrobe pieces from the movie. And again, that's where someone with like a small but very passionate fan base can really help you out.
Right.
I think we sold a pair of his pants for like $500.
Yeah, we sold his whole outfit, and then
his outfit netted us a lot more than we paid for it.
Nice.
Because again, like, because he is a more accessible and friendly, successful actor, they don't know, it has meaning to them because of that. Like, he's somebody they've interacted with. Anyway.
Well, and festivals are another thing. Expenses from film festivals, traveling, going, submitting, and all that, too. So something like that helped a lot with those type of things, too.
So with Driven, when you submitted it to the distributor, do you rely 100% on them to do the marketing, or do you compliment what they're doing? Or do you take it into your own hands and say, okay, you guys do what you're supposed to do, and we're going to do what we're supposed to do to make sure this thing happens? How'd you go about the promotional aspect of the film once it was done?
Well, when it was in its festival circuit, we actually we hired a marketing team. It was Henry Eshelman, but we worked with, and help me out with her name, Glenn, Alexis Oliphant, I think. And again, this is probably because we like sold off Richard's pants, but like, if you can afford to get yourself a small, hardworking marketing team, do it. They were definitely, they were great. She's amazing. And I don't have their contact info, but I'm sure it's available out there in the world.
We used two different places in the end, ultimately.
But we did that specifically to get press for it, to maybe help us with finding a distributor. But like, once the distributor has it, no, I'm still going to be pushing it just like I was during the festival run, because like if it performs poorly, I don't want it to be because of anything that I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I try to only work on projects that I like enough to promote. Obviously, sometimes things slip through. You don't know how things are going to turn out till they do. But like, I think it's a good rule of thumb because it makes you very selective, and it means that like you are truly going to be giving your all to this project, whether it's something that you wrote or acted in or whatever. You're still going to be sharing and helping it reach an audience.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Glenn, is there anything differently that you might have done? Thinking back on that project, and do you have any regrets about it? Anything that you missed? Slipped through your cracks?
Well, I mean, there's so many things that go into making a movie, even if short or whatever. Like, there's thousands of decisions. So there's always one. You know, there's always something here or there that you could do differently. But for the most part, everything usually goes like I want, and you work around the problems like ice or illness or whatever.
Right.
But there was, you know, interesting things with the marketing of Driven. But even with that, it's so hard to tell what results are versus what they would be when you start getting into genres and which one's marketable and which one's not. And this and it'll be interesting even to see with Killer Concept how that works out too. Because
by the way, filmmakers, the one that's marketable is probably none of them.
Yeah.
You've got to like what you're doing enough to be okay with not making money.
Right.
It's hard
because there's no guarantees, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes something can blow up and do really well, which is very rare. And then you can see movies that are really, really excellent and they can struggle. And yeah, that's why it's really important to keep your budget as low as humanly possible while getting what you need, you know, to make it.
Right.
And giving everyone what they are owed and deserve.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's very tough. And the more jobs you can do yourself, the more money you can save on the front end, and then
stretch it out.
Yeah, like we do it, like on Driven, for example, we did a ton of jobs that you just don't get paid for it. You know, and you're like, well, when the money comes in later, then someday, you know, I'll pay myself for that work.
Right.
But that allows you to make things that other people will just talk about making something and never actually do it. But you have to make those kind of sacrifices to actually get it done.
The number one film I have for screenwriters and filmmakers is to write the screenplay and make the film.
Because
you can try and fine tune it and try to make sure that your first film script, whatever, is like the best script that ever scripted. But if you never finish it, it's not going to be. It's never going to have that chance.
So. Yeah.
It's very true. That's why I love, filmmaking. I love independent filmmakers, especially because we do everything, you know, and there's no job on set that we can't do because we're forced into these, you know, constraints of budget or time or whatever it is. And, you know, just forced to do it. So, I applaud you all for doing what you do, and I applaud anyone watching that's a filmmaker or aspires to be a filmmaker, you know, because it's a certain set of skills that are required, which is called everything.
Yeah. You know,
you got to be able to do everything, you know, in order to be successful around this thing.
Yep, exactly.
Speaking of success, Glenn, are you living your dreams, or do you have bigger and better ambitions?
That's an interesting question. I mean, essentially, in one form, yes, I am living my dreams. It's just that I wish they were tweaked a little bit in some ways. You know,
Zoom in and enhance.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, the dream is to be able to tell the stories that I want to tell with the people that I want to tell them with.
Right.
And then have them accessible to a large part of the world. I know, like, we'd all just love that. But if I break it down, that's basically what it is. So at the point, like, I'm very blessed in that, like, I'm able to work on movies and sit around and come up with stories and go to lunches. And, like, it's taken a long time to get to that point. So super, super lucky for that. But, yeah, I mean, I'd still like to kick it up a notch.
So, oh, I hear you. Yeah.
We'll see.
How about you, Casey? Are you living your dreams, or what are your ambitions as a writer and producer and director?
I want to be able to more successfully pay household bills with art.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dream. I have no Oscar plans other than my bird Oscar. I do have plans for him, but like I just want to live a reasonably comfortable life and do that by pursuing artistic endeavors. And I'm not quite there yet. I'm pursuing artistic endeavors. I don't feel like I'm as much of a contributor as I would like to be in that regard, which is for anyone watching, that's my way of saying I don't get paid for doing this very often. And that's through no fault of Glenn or anyone else. That's not like... that's just like the way it is, you know, you have to, if you love doing something and you're in a market where there isn't a ton of opportunities, you know, there's going to be lean times and there's going to be times when you work on something for free.
Right.
So I guess what I would really like is for more independent filmmakers to have access to make their funds for movies so that like we can, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. So I guess my ambition is to make filmmaking a more equitable playing field so that we can all get a piece of the pie. And I'm definitely not there yet because a lot of people are going without any pie.
And I love pie. So, yeah, I feel you on that. As you know, for me, I feel like I'm I feel like I've done a lot of things I've set my mind to do. I set out to do and accomplish. But. No, I'm like
you're doing a show now, obviously. So that's,
I mean, there are some steps being taken, right. But no, I'm not at the pinnacle just yet. You know,
you're on the staircase though.
There you go. And
Zoom
I want, just like you, I want other people to come up, and I want the arts community, especially in Mississippi and Tennessee, because I'm from Memphis. Originally I live in South Haven now.
Yeah.
But I want the arts community to really be able to put their passions in front of them and really be able to grab that and do what they want to do full time, you know. I think that's what everyone wants.
Yeah, I want to help create opportunities and things like that.
Yeah, man, that'd be amazing.
Absolutely. Before we, you know, come to a close here, I want to make sure that everyone watches your YouTube channel, which is pretty hilarious stuff.
Oh, thank
you. I found a little clip that I want to show. So let's take a look at your YouTube channel. Stranger, Are You Smiling? Take a look.
Hello, beautiful strangers.
That's Casey Dillard.
That's Glenn Payne.
And we are...
Stranger, Are You Smiling?
What are we going to be doing? Lots of funny stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking mostly.
About fun things, though, in a very interesting way.
Absolutely, yes.
We also have video skits you guys can check out. Lots of fun takes on crazy activities.
Say fun one more time.
Fun!
Check out Glenn's toy collection behind us.
Lots of stuff. You should like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
If you like us on Facebook, we will like you in real life.
We're going to make you laugh. We're going to make you think. We're going to make you cry. We're going to save the world. We're gonna...
If you share our video, Glenn will share his money with you.
I will save the world by using a unicorn.
If you will subscribe to our video, I will buy a magazine subscription from you.
We will tell your child they have pretty hair. Actually, we won't
might
do
not do those
any
things.
Of those things, except we're gonna do videos that are funny. We're gonna have interesting thoughts.
We're gonna entertain you.
Hopefully we'll make you smile.
Because that's what we're all about, strangers.
This is like being on Johnny Carson or something here. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm supposed to look on screen. Watching that, so I have not watched our little intro to the channel video and so long. I had forgotten saying all those things. I was like, oh no, I'm not doing any of that. So then when we got to the end, I was like, oh, okay, good.
I'm glad. Yeah, they were all lying. We were lying the whole time.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't know, though. Politicians don't have to keep their promises. Neither do I.
That's true. That's true.
Well, you know, Casey and Mr. Glenn, I appreciate you both for being on here. Now, I want to really encourage everyone to go check out your YouTube channel, Stranger, Are You Smiling? And Casey, where can we find you on social media?
Sorry, my bird's yelling. I'm Citizen Case, like mm-hmm. Citizen Kane, but my name, because I'm a narcissist. On Instagram, there's no underscore. On Twitter, I think there is an underscore between Citizen and Case. And those are my important handles.
And what about you, Glenn?
I am at ArtistGP2. So there's an ArtistGP1 who is a phony. A lot.
And we're coming for you.
Yeah. And don't trust that guy.
Don't trust that guy.
Yeah. So
actually, this is now a call out video.
We coming for you, sucker.
People like drama.
Artist GP1.
And I believe Dead Leaf Productions is your company name. Mm-hmm. Find you all on Dead Leaf Productions on Facebook, and glennpayne.com is your website.
Yeah.
For your art as well as film projects. And of course, you can watch Driven on Tubi. It's on Vudu, Amazon Prime, and other digital platforms. And Killer Concept coming soon, maybe soon, spring, summer 2021. What are we looking at?
Let's see. What season are we in now? What is it? Spring?
What season are we in now? What was that voice?
I don't know. I've got like really close to ending this thing without screwing up on an epic.
We don't have the exact release date yet, but it will probably be in late spring or early summer 2021.
A little birdie, not yours, Casey, but a little birdie told me that there's a trailer dropping sometime soon.
I wonder who told you that.
I wonder who told me that.
Must have been Coley.
Coley.
That, yeah, yours, what you said. I swear too much in quarantine, and I'm really having to watch myself.
Well, what have you been watching in quarantine anyway?
Oh, boy, what haven't I been watching in quarantine? I've been revisiting the underrated Disney series Gargoyles on Disney+. Oh, yes. Plus.
Love Gargoyles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been making my husband watch that. And fortunately, he's really into it, so no divorce on the horizon.
Epic win.
Yes. Let's see. I watched on Netflix. I watched Never Have I Ever. I finally got around to watching both seasons of Sex Education.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend both shows. What else did I watch? I watched the one on Netflix recently, which I like, but I have problems with.
Name them all.
Okay. Spoilers, though.
It's funny. We have a YouTube episode about this. That's not out yet, though, is it?
What? About what we watched in quarantine?
Yeah. Oh, well, Netflix specifically.
Oh, yeah. If you want to find out what we watched in quarantine, you tune into our show, Rod Kirby.
I'm going there right now.
That's really our next episode, I think.
It's I think it's not tomorrow, but next Thursday. That's probably when that one's dropping.
That's funny.
So what about you, Glenn? What have been watching?
Some of the same things. Sex Education, I thought was fantastic. The Good Place and Schitt's Creek both helped me get through the most trying portions of the pandemic being mm-hmm. lockdown. And I watched
you really leaned into Sex Education.
Yeah.
You're upset when it was done, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was really sad one night because I was like, these people.
He was like, my friends are leaving.
Yeah. But
you're just trapped at home.
Yeah, because I live in the country, so I don't have a lot going on out here if I'm locked down. So it will
be very easy for the ones of thousands of Glenn Payne fans to come stalk you.
That is your new thing. Talking about how easy it's going to be to find me. You just keep telling everybody that.
I don't know about you guys. I might make a good movie. I don't know.
Yeah. You should have heard some of the stories I was pitching, that we were pitching. Before we did Killer Concept, we were like, okay, we have a window to make a movie if we can mm-hmm. do it safely. What should we do for no money? other than like food, you know, and prop.
I still think there's something to that one dark comedy I wrote. We just needed like a nicer house and clothes to make it work. And we did not have access to that.
And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And you're like, I don't think your house is nice enough. And I don't think we're young enough.
Well, and I specifically said, I know my house isn't because it's covered in feathers and hair.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
There's two or three ideas we kicked around. That's
nice.
That's the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get out of here, when you do Zoom calls, pants or no pants? Serious question. People want to know.
What are pants? Really?
I have a cat named Pants, but she's not here right now. It's a toss-up. I've done Zoom stuff with pants on, and I have done it without them.
Well, I'm happy to say that I have pants on now, but I don't know how much longer I'll have them on. So
congratulations on both of those things.
I have on
thank you very much.
A type of pants right now. I actually sent Casey a picture because it was funny because how
the voluminous.
Yeah, it's like sweat, like baggy sweatpants compared to the, you know, me looking.
His old slim fit button down.
Yeah. Not the same. They don't work well.
One of these things. Oh, nice. Hey, speaking of singing, have you listened to any of the music from The Color Purple? The show?
Not the show. You mean the Broadway
show?
The
musical, yeah.
Yes, my wife and I saw that. They had a show here in Memphis, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
If you've never seen the Cynthia Erivo performance of the I Am Here, it's mm-hmm. really worth watching. Full goosebumps and everything.
Ooh, nice.
But yeah, it's a good show. I could watch the show a lot. I don't know if I can watch the movie over and over again, but I can get through a little more personal grief if there's songs.
Mm-hmm.
If they're singing about.
Really? I mean,
makes it easier to digest.
I am more likely to watch a musical tragedy than a non-musical tragedy.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like we should have that. The more you know, that little thing just fly across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, thank you all for hanging out with me today on the Rod Kirby Show. I am your host, Rod Kirby, and you can follow me at rodkirby.com as well as at Rod Kirby on pretty much every platform that you have. Thank you all again, and we'll see y'all later. Peace out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Rod Kirby Show. Watch this episode by subscribing to my YouTube channel. For more filmmaking tips and advice, visit my blog at www.rodkirby.com. Thanks again for listening, and remember to write, shoot, produce, and repeat. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.